bring to you our reading this morning, which is from 2 Corinthians 3, and it's the first six verses. Okay, it's up there. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm going to hand over to Chris as he brings our word to us this morning.
Thank you, James. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Well, Paul and Timothy are writing this letter to the church in Corinth, and they're reminding them that they know, as a whole church, they know that Paul and Timothy's ministry is genuine, and they know that for two reasons. The love that Paul and Timothy have for them all. That must have been apparent, because of the way Paul speaks, to the Corinthian church and to everybody else who heard Paul and Timothy speak about the Corinthian church. It was written on their hearts that they loved that gathering of people. And secondly, the results of Paul and Timothy's ministry has produced amongst them. They can look around the church and they can think about the things that Paul said to them, the way he taught them. And they can see the impact of that. They can see how their lives have been transformed and how they love one another and are reaching out with the good news of Jesus. So because of that, he says, they don't need letters of introduction from anyone else to prove their credentials. Paul writes, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, a result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You can hear those echoes of the old covenant written on slabs of stone and the new covenant that God promised when he said he would create a new heart in us and pour out his Spirit upon everyone who believed in him. So Paul doesn't claim that he is competent through his own wisdom, training, or skill, but that God has qualified him and Timothy as servants of this new covenant. So Paul is writing to defend his own ministry, but in fact, every believer, look around you, every believer is a servant of this new covenant. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has become a royal priest. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. That includes you and me, but not just me. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus has been called to be a priest before God. God has made you competent to serve. He has qualified you. None of us is yet perfect. Again, look around you or look within. not one of us is yet perfect. We all fall far short of God's glory. But the great news is, we don't have to be perfect before we start serving. Otherwise, there would be no competent ministers of this new covenant. Rather, God has called us to serve, and he will make us perfect. So I want to remind you briefly about what this new covenant is and how we can go about serving each other as ministers of that covenant. So what is the covenant? Well, perhaps first and foremost, it is God's promise of forgiveness through repentance. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said that this good news would go out across all the world. Forgiveness through repentance. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You can find that in Luke 24:47. It's more than that, but that's normally how it impacts on you as an individual first. When you recognize that you need forgiveness and that through the blood of Christ shed on the cross, there is forgiveness available and that you can be reconciled to God. That's the good news as it impacts you. It's more than that because it goes on to say that everything in the whole of creation is going to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So it's bigger than just you. But we are selfish beings, aren't we? That's where we start, our own need. When we recognize our own need and that God has met that need through Jesus Christ, then we become aware, perhaps, of the whole of creation coming under his leadership and lordship. It's guaranteed through the shed blood of Jesus. The old covenant was written on blocks of stone. The new covenant was first written in Jesus Christ and his love upon the cross, and then written in your heart when you believe in him. Written by the Spirit in you. So not a law imposed upon you from outside, like a burden upon you to fulfill, but the Spirit of God in you, enabling you to fulfill God's will and purpose. It is a Spirit-led, not a letter-led covenant. That means that if you come this morning trying hard to live a Christian life without the Spirit, you're never going to do it. But through the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, we're enabled to live that life. It's a covenant of life, not death. The old covenant was covered in blood, the blood of sacrificial animals that had to die every day, all year, and every year for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ died once for all and ended that covenant of death. When he rose from death into life, he invited us into a covenant of life, and he invites you into the fullness of life. And it's written on our hearts and minds, not on stone. This was the promise that God gave in Jeremiah through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would write his laws on our hearts and minds so that we didn't need to carry them round in a box, but they would be in us, in our very being. Well, that's all good news because, remember, you are ministers of this new covenant. So now you know what that covenant is. How are you going to go about making it known? So how to minister the new covenant? Well, write, not with ink, but with the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:3. So if you are wanting to minister in any way, in a small group, in reflections, in the coffee time, in the care home, amongst your neighbours, in the workplace, at the lab, in the school, prayer and being filled with the Holy Spirit is the first way that you're going to start writing with the Spirit. And then doing what the Holy Spirit inspires you to do. Tonight we'll be watching Jared Cooper's little film that's titled, rather boldly, How to Perform a Miracle. You want to come now, don't you? Well, I couldn't possibly tell you, but come tonight. But I can tell you that you never perform a miracle without the Spirit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is by His Spirit that we can write the covenant of life into other people's lives. Secondly, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, set forth the truth plainly. Can you do that? Can you just tell the truth about who you are? Actually, it's quite a tall order to be that vulnerable, to say, actually, I'm struggling, to actually open up. I said in the prayer meeting as we gathered this morning, it is easier to worry than pray. I find that. Do you find that? Tell people that. Because they look at you as a Christian and they think, you've got it all sewn up. You're not worried about anything. What do you know? You drift through life blissfully unaware of any problems. But when you say, yeah, I'm worried. I've got struggles. I've got challenges. But I trust in Jesus Christ. I trust that He's got me in the palm of His hand. Or, if you can say it truthfully, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Thirdly, preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. That is really good news. Because if you had to hold yourself up as an example and say, follow me! Look at me, I am getting it all right. Then I don't think there'd be many competent ministers of the new covenant. But we can say, don't look at me, look at Jesus. Jesus is the one who can save you. Jesus is the one that can give you hope in darkness, the one that can give you eternal life and not just life here, the one that can give you peace in the midst of the storm. Preach Jesus Christ as Lord, not ourselves. Thinking about this, some of you will have seen this picture several times before. It takes on a bit of a new significance, I think, as epidemiology suddenly comes into our everyday vocabulary. I challenge you if you can spell epidemiology, or even say it after a cup of tea. This picture is supposed to represent the Christians gathered in church and how perhaps little impact they have on the community. Whereas when we go out during the week, scattered in the world, amongst those that we work amongst, in our care homes, in our communities, we impact far more people. So right now, we might be thinking about people that have an infection that are in one place and then they spread out and they communicate it all over the place and they all catch it. We know how it works, don't we? It's sort of coming home to us at how it works with a virus. Do you know it happens like that with faith? I don't think it's entirely true that to say that Christianity is caught, not taught. Jesus did a lot of teaching, but I think it's caught through teaching. As we teach about who Jesus Christ is and we live it out, the people around us in our everyday life are impacted by that good news. As we gather here, we encourage and strengthen each other to go back out and continue that ministry as ministers of that new covenant. So here we are today, gathered. It's going to be really important in the days to come where we might be stopped from speaking and stopped from meeting, and some of you will be perhaps not able to come to church. We'll carry on meeting for as long as we possibly can, but some of you may not feel able to come. Does that mean that there is no ministry of the new covenant going on out in the community? No, because you are ministers of the new covenant where God has placed you. Amongst those that you can ring up and speak to and bring encouragement and strengthening. So pray. Share good news with those around you. Yes, speak the truth plainly. Set set forth the truth to people, but share your faith. Don't give up on doing that, even if you're not able to meet with others together. If you are able, then please keep coming. Unless you have a persistent cough, in which case, come later. But do let us know. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10 says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Isn't that a great encouragement? That in the difficulties, in the perplexity, that is the vessel in which we carry the new covenant hope, the treasure that Paul speaks about. We were in our small group meeting, it was in the leaders' meeting, speaking about this, and one of the people spoke and said, you know, at the moment I'm hard-pressed and crushed. I'm perplexed and despairing. I'm persecuted and feel abandoned. I'm struck down and I feel destroyed. You know, Jesus never promised that we wouldn't feel those things. But the truth is, we are not those things, because Jesus is with us and he gives the victory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you that we have our hope in you. Lord, it's secure in the treasury that you have in heaven. We thank you that you have deposited in us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we choose to take out these jars of clay and to allow that light to shine through our brokenness in this coming week. We ask that you would bring glory to yourself through and in us. Amen.